But if he's a preacher, I said, and he believes in a different hell... Grover shrugged. Who says he's seeing this place the way we're seeing it? Humans see what they want to see. You're very stubborn. Persistent, that way. We got closer to the gates. The howling was so loud now, it shook the ground at my feet, but I still couldn't figure out where it was coming from. Then, about 50 feet in front of us, the green mist shimmered. Standing just where the path split into 3 lanes was an enormous shadowy monster. I hadn't seen it before because it was half transparent, like the dead. Until it moved, it blended with whatever was behind it, only its eyes and teeth looked solid, and it was staring straight at me. My jaw hung open. All I could think to say was, "He's a Rottweiler." I'd always imagined Cerberus as a big black mastiff, but he was obviously a purebred Rottweiler, except, of course, that he was twice the size of a woolly mammoth, mostly invisible, and had 3 heads. The dead walked right up to him, no fear at all. The attendant on duty lines parted on either side of him. The easy death spirits walked right between his front paws and under his belly, which they could do without even crouching. "I'm starting to see him better," I muttered. "Why is that?" "I think," Annabeth moistened her lips, "I'm afraid it's because we're getting closer to being dead." The dog's middle head craned toward us. It sniffed the air and growled. "It can smell the living," I said. "But that's okay," Grover said, trembling next to me, "because we have a plan."
"Right,"
Annabeth said. I'd never heard her voice sound quite so small.
"A plan."
We moved toward the monster. The middlehead snarled at us, then barked so loud my eyeballs rattled.
"Can you understand it?" I asked Grover.
"Oh, yeah," he said. "I can understand it.
What's it saying?"
"I don't think humans have a 4-letter word that translates exactly." I took the big stick out of my backpack, a bedpost I'd broken off Krusty's Safari Deluxe floor model. I held it up and tried to channel happy dog thoughts towards Cerberus. Alpo commercials, cute little puppies, fire hydrants. I tried to smile like I wasn't about to die.
"Hey, big fella," I called up. "I bet they don't play with you much."
"Grrr."
"Good boy," I said weakly. I waved the stick. The dog's middle head followed the movement. The other 2 heads trained on me, completely ignoring the spirits. I had Cerberus's undivided attention. I wasn't sure that was a good thing.
"Fetch!"
I threw the stick into the gloom. A good solid throw. I heard it go, "Psh!" in the river Styx. Cerberus glared at me, unimpressed. His eyes were baleful and cold. So much for the plan. Cerberus was now making a new kind of growl, deeper, down in his 3 throats.
Grover said.
"Percy?"
"Yeah?"
"I just thought you'd want to know."
"Yeah?"
"Cerberus? He's saying we've got 10 seconds to pray to the god of our choice. After that, he's... hungry."
"Wait," Annabeth said. She started rifling through her pack.
"Uh-oh," I thought.
5 seconds, Grover said. "Do we run now?"
Annabeth produced a red rubber ball the size of a grapefruit. It was labeled Waterland, Denver, Colorado. Before I could stop her, she raised the ball and marched straight up to Cerberus. She shouted,
"See the ball? You want the ball, Cerberus? Sit!"
Cerberus looked as stunned as we were. All 3 of his heads cocked sideways. 6 nostrils dilated.
"Sit!"
Annabeth called again. I was sure that any moment she would become the world's largest milk-bone dog biscuit. But instead, Cerberus licked his 3 sets of lips, shifted on his haunches, and sat, immediately crushing 12 spirits who'd been passing underneath him in the easy death line.
The spirits made muffled hisses as they dissipated, like the air let out of tires.
Annabeth said, "Good boy."
She threw Cerberus the ball. He caught it in his middle mouth. It was barely big enough for him to chew, and the other heads started snapping at the middle, trying to get the new toy.
"Drop it," Annabeth ordered.
Cerberus's head stopped fighting and looked at her. The ball was wedged between two of his teeth like a tiny piece of gum. He made a loud, scary whimper, then dropped the ball, now slimy and bitten nearly in half, at Annabeth's feet.
"Good boy."
She picked up the ball, ignoring the monster spit all over it. She turned toward us.
"Go now. Easy death line. It's faster."
I said, "But..."
"Now,"
she ordered in the same tone she was using on the dog. Grover and I inched forward warily.
Cerberus started to growl.
"Stay," Annabeth ordered the monster. "If you want the ball, stay."
Cerberus whimpered, but he stayed where he was.
"What about you?" I asked Annabeth as we passed her.
"I know what I'm doing, Percy," she muttered. "At least I'm pretty sure."
Grover and I walked between the monster's legs.
"Please, Annabeth," I prayed, "don't tell him to sit again."
We made it through. Cerberus wasn't any less scary looking from the backside.
Annabeth said, "Good dog."
She held up the tattered red ball and probably came to the same conclusion I did. If she rewarded Cerberus, there'd be nothing left for another trick. She threw the ball anyway. The monster's left mouth immediately snatched it up, only to be attacked by the middle head while the right head moaned in protest. While the monster was distracted, Annabeth walked briskly under its belly and joined us at the metal detector.
"How'd you do that?" I asked her, amazed.
"Obedience school," she said breathlessly. And I was surprised to see there were tears in her eyes. "When I was little, at my dad's house, we had a Doberman."
"Never mind that," Grover said, tugging at my shirt. "Come on."